Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
Today we start our sermon series on Jeremiah and Lamentations. And although it sounds a bit grim, with Jeremiah being known as the weeping prophet and Lamentations sounding a bit depressing, Max is going to cover the hope that is conveyed, and Emily will show us how Christ is foretold in these books. Even Lamentations conveys the great value for our mental and spiritual health of talking to God in times of anger, frustration, and anguish. Jeremiah's name means hurls. Yes, he was definitely hurled into a challenge, but it also means throws upwards or revered. And these books give us some of the most oft-repeated imagery and verses that God gave us. Many think he is the most spiritual man in the Old Testament, and he is quoted over 50 times in the New Testament, mostly in the book of Revelation. Jeremiah was 16 to 18 years old when the conversations with God began, and he put in 40 years of service. He was a descendant of Aaron and of a priestly family which found the scriptures in the temple. He lived in an area allocated to the Levites, as his father had been a priest too. It was a place of refuge where someone could retreat if they had to leave where they lived due to a mistake or a sin. So he had many early influences for his emerging compassion. Jeremiah's language is simple and direct. Initially, it was fear that was stopping him from prophesying. He says, "I cannot speak, for I am a child, but God promises that he will deliver him. God chooses the most unlikely people for his purposes." And despite Jeremiah's initial hesitations, he accepted the divine mandate to speak God's words of warning and hope to a people who largely resisted his message. The Lord touched Jeremiah and put words in his mouth. God uses prophecy to speak to the world, and Jeremiah is there trying to give comfort before Jesus came. Jeremiah 3:16 parallels John 3:16, probably the best known verse in the Bible. If only the people would listen. He tries to treat them with compassion and encourage them. His deep anguish for the people in their sinfulness displays itself as tenderness. Repentance is a recurring theme call in Jeremiah. Repent means to do a 180 degree turn, i.e. turn your back on your idolatry and sin. The prophet calls people to reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live on in this place. Insisting that genuine return to the Lord would pivot the nation away from looming disaster. This imperative of repentance is braided together with the broader biblical understanding that God is always ready to forgive those who turn from sin and seek him wholeheartedly. By verse 11, God starts giving Jeremiah visions in addition to putting words in his mouth. The first is the almond tree branch. The word almond also means awake. The almond tree blossoms in late January, and it's the first tree to wake from the winter and bear fruit. God is using the imagery to say, "I am watching over my plans to soon bring them to fruition." Jeremiah lived in an area where many almond trees grew, so he would have understood the significance. Jeremiah then tries to raise awareness. In chapters 7 to 10, he preaches what are known as the temple sermons, trying to warn people that unless they turn from their sinfulness and idolatry, God's judgment will come from the north. The boiling pot will tip over them. God continues reaching out with the imagery to help Jeremiah. One of the famous ones is the potter's clay. Have you watched Pottery Throwdown? In the technical challenge, they often have to make as many identical items as they can in a limited time. The judges come round with a bucket and take the misshapen ones that aren't conforming and squelch them down into the bucket. But we all know that clay can be reused and reshaped into something beautiful. And so it is with God. He is going to squelch the nation, but we all know it was be rebuilt into something more beautiful by sending Jesus. In the meantime, to continue the pot metaphor and to try to get the leaders to take heed, he tells Jeremiah to take a pot outside Jerusalem with the elders and the kings and smash the pot to smithereens in the potter's field. The prophecy of Jeremiah as God's mouthpiece was referred to in our New Testament reading. The potter's field was the place where strangers, the poor and the criminals were buried. The field became a powerful symbol of the tragic outcome of betrayal, the cost of sin, but also of God's plan for redemption, extending his grace to all people, including strangers, i.e. Gentiles, i.e. us. So only faithfulness to God can guarantee a nation's security. His message is more desperately needed today than ever before. Trade deficits, inflation, military strife, moral disaster. God is the primary character in the book of Jeremiah. Virtually every characteristic of God that is found in the Old Testament is found here. God is seen to be present and active. It is important to understand that the divine wrath is contingent and not an essential characteristic or attribute of God. God's anger is provoked. If there were no sin, there would be no divine wrath. Indeed, the people were to blame for the sufferings they had to experience, not God. Moreover, God's tears often accompany divine anger. He talks of a fountain of tears in chapter 9. For Jeremiah, God is not a God who is aloof and distant, but one who is near at hand, present and active in the lives of peoples and nations. That God fills heaven and earth is a claim that God's relationship with the world is comprehensive in scope, present not only to Israel, but to all peoples. God is not simply here and there. God is always lovingly at work in every nook and cranny of the universe. So what are the lessons for us? If we look at Jeremiah, God said, verse 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." And yet Jeremiah worked and prophesied for 40 years without a single convert. If he was a missionary, the mission board would have called him back. And yet his writings about the plans God had for us and the hope that we should have are often quoted on notebooks and t-shirts and bring great comfort centuries after his death. Well done, good and faithful servant. The you in the womb is how God saw you from his view of eternity and how your time on earth fits into your time in eternity. He sees us before we are born. We don't have to be born for him to know us. God intended you as you are. He was thinking about you and that informed how he made you. He knew you would be here today. He chose you to be one of his. And if you are still curious or questioning, he chose you to give you that decision to make. He loves you and he wants you for him. We are set apart for sacred usage. Some will be painful, some will be fulfilling. We are made a little lower than the angels and crowned in glory and honour. God says, "I've set you apart for something meaningful and important. You have a reason to be here. God designed you to be who you are. It doesn't matter what others do or say to us, and we should not be overly concerned as we are God's chosen ones. It's so easy to see ourselves as other people see us. God doesn't want us to be dwarfed or minimised by the limited perceptions of others. Christ, who lives with you, is your hope of glory. Our business is not to remake ourselves, but to make the absolute best of what God made. The things that overtake us, the things we struggle with, for example, Jeremiah felt he was too young, Moses felt he was too old, whatever we have as our I can't is reverse pride. It's false to think we are unable. That's thinking too much of ourselves and not enough of God. We project our limitations on God's abundance. We have to work through the struggle. Jeremiah was hated by family, hated by priests, hated by kings, hated by authority. Jeremiah, like David, showed his human side. He had his doubts and wobbles, but God said in verse 8, "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you." Jeremiah wants to quit when he is in prison. He was thrown into a well that had no water in it, but it was very muddy, so he was up to his waist in mud for a very long time. There are moments when Jeremiah, the prophet, wants to become a non-profit organisation. But then he concludes, chapter 20, verse 9. "But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." God wants us. The Bible has hands, it grabs hold of us. It has feet, it runs after us. Wherever we are in our faith or our lives today, God wants us to repent, to do that 180-degree turn and run into his arms.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.